In the Absence of Miracles, written by Michael J. Malone and read by Angus King.
1. My mother's face had haunted me since I'd last seen her, almost 2 weeks ago. Her one good eye staring. A string of saliva stretching from the corner of her mouth. Her right hand frozen into a claw as she struggled to reach for the warmth of mine. This would be the first time I had seen her since she'd been transferred from the big hospital in Glasgow to Lennox House, a nursing home in the village where she'd spent most of her adult life. The driveway was just wide enough for one car. There were a few passing places dotted along its length. The grass verges were neatly trimmed, and a mix of large-leafed trees and giant rhododendron bushes broke the view over a wide, closely clipped lawn. I followed the long curve of the drive, and a couple of minutes later, we were pulling up in front of a large, ivy-covered Victorian mansion. There were three rows of tall windows set into stained blonde sandstone. In the centre, a grand portico, supported by four Greek pillars, stood over a large glass door.
"It's lovely,"
Angela said to me from the passenger seat, as she craned her neck to look up at the building.
"The village seemed nice as well. A nice place to grow up. I've only ever known the city," she added, wistfully.
I studied her expression to check if she was having a go at me. Despite the fact we'd been together for around 2 years, by around, I mean we've been as much on as off over that period, I'd never brought her to the village where I'd grown up. Inside, I was struck by the elegance and grandeur of the place. This impression was followed by the recognition of the subtle smell that hung in the air. It clung to my nostrils and filled my lungs. It was the smell of incontinence, dying breaths, and fading memories. The flowers spilling from vases on every available surface did nothing to mask it. Their perfume only added to the cloying smell. We approached an imposing desk, and the receptionist looked up from her paperwork and offered us a smile. She had dark, straightened hair and was wearing a black jacket over a white shirt. The name badge on her lapel read, "Donna, receptionist."
"Morning. How can I help you?"
She looked from me to Angela and allowed her gaze to rest on her, as if she judged Angela the more important.
"I'm here to see my mother, Donna," I said. "Mrs. Lorna Docherty."
Donna smiled over at me, then looked down at her screen and punched a few keys on her keyboard.
"Room 22, first floor."
I nodded my thanks, turned and walked over to the staircase. As I looked around, the doctor's words from the last time I spoke to him echoed in my mind.
"Your mother has had a massive stroke, Mr. Docherty, and sadly she didn't get to a hospital quickly enough. Our tests indicate..."
He went on speaking, but I couldn't really take it in. Lots of big words and serious expressions.
"We remain ever hopeful, of course, but despite her relatively young age, we expect she will see her days out under assisted care."
And this place would cost money. A lot of money. I'd need to sell her house. Angela reached for my hand.
"You okay?"
she asked. "Got a bit of a sore head," I replied, offering her a smile, aware my tension was causing it to fray at the edges. Together, we walked over to the wide staircase and started to climb its plushly carpeted steps. The oak panelling on the walls matched the banister and was hung with large portraits of grim-faced Lennox men and women.